Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, South Kakalaka! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world famous two-time champs and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12-Pack Radio, get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news and the home of the BetaRank College Football Statistical Model, which is getting hot, Thank you for joining us. This is Brian Conger, and it is Week 5, Pac-12 football. And I'm joined, as always, by Rob Barron from Sharp College Football. SharpCollegeFootball.com is where you can find all the numbers. YouTube, Sharp College Football. Rob, I looked back last week. I knew it. It looked like a trap. It smelled like a trap. I knew it was a trap, but we took USC and we took Oregon anyway. At least we were self-aware. Like, I thought we had one more week on the numbers catching up to whether Oregon State was good or Washington State was good. And it was just a bonk. Like, this whole week was pretty bonkers. Just some of the games that went off, like Cal dropped a 50 burger basically on Arizona. Washington shook their, you know, exercised their Stanford demon, and
big
just
time.
Some
yeah.
crazy freaking games. How are you? And what did you think of the week?
Yeah, I mean, BetaRank was at 54% for the week overall for college football, which is nice. Like, it's starting to work out some of the early season kinks. And this is the last week we have projection data in. Mm. Like, I started doing it earlier, so next week will be full in season data.
I like
warts
it.
And all.
Like,
yeah, I'm excited for that. And there are some, like, there are some numbers that I'm not sure, like right now in the in-season data, that I think are going to continue to adjust. But I think we're starting to see what largely looks like an improved Pac-12. You know, like, if you look at, you know, BetaRank right now for the Pac-12, you have the majority of teams, you know, in the conference are below 50. Now, it's not like a lot of, you know, like, you still have some teams like, Arizona and Colorado and Arizona State that are below that. But overall, like, you have five teams in the top 30, and then you have eight teams in the top 40 in BetaRank. And that's great. Like, that's as good as, like, and you have one, I mean, you have USC as the lone top 10 representative, but you have three teams, you know, four teams then in the top 20. Like, this is a real improvement for the conference in depth.
I love it. I love it. I'm worried. Well, I'm not worried, because, like, I think one of the things that we had highlighted last week is you got to assume Carl Durrell's gone after the end of the year. You already have Herm Edwards gone. And, you know, I guess Herm at least had a, I don't want to say a high floor, but like a modestly sized floor, sorry, modestly sized receptacle. And I think that bringing somebody in that can make that program a little bit more competitive is great. Right. Like, and then you have Oregon State, Jonathan Smith. I think we can all agree that Washington State really has made a giant jump, and Arizona doesn't suck anymore. It's nice to be able to have the bottom basement start to rise up a little bit, and it makes the conference more fun. These games are really interesting. And
yeah,
I mean, even the Cal Arizona game, like, I was looking forward to that game because I didn't quite know what Cal was, but I knew Arizona was fun. And it just like, I love those Pac-12 2:30 games. We're like, oh, this is going to be an enjoyable, you know, possibly a disaster, but in like a competitive disaster way, like more a disaster for me and my gambling rather than like the team on the field that loses 50-0. And you're right. Like, I think that the product across the conference has been good. And the quarterback play, I think, is a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all those transfers that came into the conference, or the transfers within the conference, are absolutely playing up to, you know, with the one exception, of course, at Arizona State, but yeah, have improved the quality of play significantly. And the coaching changes that took place have also made a big difference, right? Like, Oregon's offense looks really good, really competent. Bo Nix looks pretty good for the most part, right? You know, Washington looks incredible offensively. You know, Penix is playing, you know, like he did when DeBoer was his offensive coordinator in Indiana. And really, even like Delora, I mean, Arizona right now is just at 25 offensively in beta rank. Now, I don't expect that to necessarily hold around there, but if they finish for the top 40 offense, that's significant improvement, right? Like, that's great news for the conference.
If you're a parent of a child, not a child, these are adults basically, of a Division I program, and your coach is incompetent, like, just transfer. I mean, that's the lesson. Yeah. I mean, look at the transformation of Washington. These are the same wide receivers that were there the year before, and they're awesome. Look at what happened at ASU, right? You have a number of players. We just saw Johnny Williams. What's his name? Oh my gosh. Well, there's two. There's Ricky Parasol that left, and then Johnny Wilson that ended up making some big plays at Florida State. Like, it's fun to see good players settle into where, you know, places that really highlight what they're good at. And I love that. It's just, it always makes me really sad when you have players that have the talent. Like, I mean, all the defensive players that trickled through Stanford that were all 5- and 4-star players. You know, that's a disaster. Like, I get it. Stanford's a beautiful school. You're going to get a great education. But like, it's always like, you know, I think in like elementary school, like, especially me, right? Like, I was always really skinny. So I'm like, well, at least I'm smart. Right. But there are rather large people way bigger than me and way smarter than me. And life isn't fair. And a lot of those players are at Stanford. And I'm like, dang it. Like, if only, you know, because I think there's this thought of like, oh, well, they're smart. They can't play football. No, they do both. And so get them in a place where they can be smart and play football, you know, get a good degree and be really competitive on the field. And oh, it always drives me nuts. Like, and we'll keep talking about it till Lance Anderson is fired. But for the most part, the conference itself has been really fun. And even Stanford on the offensive side has been really strong. You know, what are a couple things that you took away from this week, Rob?
I think there's, a couple interesting takeaways from this week. One is that Oregon State's defense might be improved. I don't know how much yet, right?
Yeah.
Beta rank, like in what is still a small sample and what I assume will adjust upwards, they're currently sitting in the 40s defensively. That's massive improvement over where they've been the last couple of years. But I think even if they settle somewhere in the 50s, that's still really good considering where they've been. Their offense, though, doesn't look great. I think that's an interesting takeaway for the Beavers is, you know, like, I don't think they're as dangerous as they were last year offensively. Now, I think that's a number that I think will improve over where they currently sit. USC, look, I mean, I'm interested to see is like, how much did they stub their toe? And just like, sometimes those happen, right? Like, you're going to go out and you're going to have an off night. What? How much was it an off night up in Corvallis? I don't know that there's a lot of takeaways from like some of the other games. Like, I thought Oregon played really well, and I think that there's some turnovers and just craziness sort of hiding in that, you know, underneath like what looks like a really close score. Like,
hold on. I fundamentally disagree. I thought they played well in the second half. I was shocked at how undisciplined that team was. Like, he had personal fouls and just stupid. Like, that first half, I was like, is Clay Helton coaching that football team? Because it feels like it.
Yes.
Because their defense was poor. You had Washington State.
The defense, actually, I don't think is very good for Oregon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that was like, now, to their credit, they were able to stop the run. But, like, you know, I think we even against Wisconsin said, like, hey, they got them when they needed them, but, like, they still only had 50 yards. So I get it. Like, they did stop the run. But some of those passes that Ward threw, I mean, he threw it further down the field than we've seen in a number of games. So I'm not taking that away. But the way that Washington State was able to move the ball early and often and like almost all the time,
I think you're right. I think Oregon's defense might not be very good. Their offense, though, I think is really good. Like, they put up 624 yards on that Washington State defense. Honestly, like, we saw them in person, like, did pretty well against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's not an offensive juggernaut, but the fact that they were able to show up and do that, but I mean, they put up all like this game shouldn't have been so close in a lot of ways, right? Like this game had no business being as close as it was. It was largely Oregon incompetence and inability to like put the Cougs away, you know. And they ended up coming back. Oregon did, and having a huge fourth quarter. I mean, some of that, of course, is the pick six.
The fat guy pick six.
Yeah.
How good are your hands? Like, if you were if you were literally like 2 feet from me, and I threw the ball as hard as I could right over your head, hard is it to catch that ball and then immediately run in the end zone? That was amazing. I was dying when that happened.
But I think the main takeaway, I think, is that for Oregon is that the offense has really got it. Now they may be one of those teams that lacks the discipline and they don't know how to finish, and maybe we'll see a little bit of that this season. Where this game finished with total yards wise, like Oregon should have won by 14, you know, and the fact that they did need a pick six and everything to make it happen is a pretty big indictment of execution. But I think largely, like, Oregon's going to have some games where this offense is going to be able to go out and put up a bunch of points.
Do you think them not finishing in the red zone?
Oh,
like, cause it was bad. And the play calling was stupid. Like, I mean, you can come at me if you want. That was it reminded me of Jed Fish minus like the, no, I mean, like Jed Fish would try dumb stuff. Take that back. Jed Fish was awful in the red zone, cause he would do dumb stuff. Like you get way too cute. And this was the opposite where it was, you know, and that pick six was a perfect example of it. Right. So Oregon needs, it's like fourth and three. They need 3 yards. And I get like some of this is on Knicks. And then, you know, he tosses it off to the running back who's in the flat. And then he did the same exact thing. Now, I'm sure it was a different play. I'm sure there's other things. But like in the first quarter, it was just like, you know, when you stack four or five red zone approaches, you know, up to him, and you're at like negative 2 points collectively for all of them. I mean, it's just, I just felt like it was super vanilla and bad and poor. Yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah. And then beyond that, I mean, like, I think the other takeaway, and we'll talk about it for me, was that Arizona's defense is horrible. I mean, just, and that is going to make the Cats a bit of an adventure this year. I mean, like, look, like we didn't have super high expectations for them. I think the offense is better than we maybe expected. I think the defense might be worse.
Yeah. I mean, if Cal's dropping 50 on you and just running wherever they want all the time, that's a problem. And that game, by the way, like the offense, there is a world where there's a different defensive coordinator and a few other players, and that, and Arizona wins that game. But like,
and Arizona doesn't turn the ball over three times and Cal zero.
But it was, I think it was the running game, I think, was the biggest story, where like we're not in that world and we don't have that defensive coordinator, and there are players that aren't on that field. And so that game is just out of reach because Cal was just able to, it's like, oh, like, I mean, the first, wasn't the first play of the game was like an 80 yard run or something like that. I mean, it's just like, whoop, there it is.
Yeah, they had two of those. I mean, I think if you have Don Brown still at Arizona, and look, I mean, DeLora made some dumb throws in that game. I mean, he had three picks, you know, that, and that hurts. Or no, sorry, two picks. And then they had a fumble too. But, you know, like you turn the ball, that game in some ways, like it, saying that Arizona turned the ball over three times, I think almost sounds like you're trying to understate how bad the defense was. But that could have easily been a full-on down-to-the-wire shootout too. In that game, like Arizona is like off, like, but I think it's going to be one of those ones where like people are going to like, and I hope people do this all the time. Like they will blame the offense for not being able to keep up with somebody just lighting up their defense. Mm-hmm. And I think Arizona this season, like if they are going to come through and win a non-Colorado, non-ASU game in this conference, like they're probably going to need some turnover help, because like, here's the other thing. If you flipped it around and Cal turned the ball over three times, Arizona rolls them in this game because the offense is there. Like if Arizona can finish, like Arizona, I think is going to be good enough to, like, if they finish plus two on turnovers, they're going to be able to hang with people. But I think they're going to need the turnovers to make up for what could be a really, really bad defense.
Yeah. One last big picture thing. Cause you're talking about turnovers, right? And USC is like plus 19 turnovers.
It does not go forever. I don't know when it's going to stop. but it doesn't go forever.
Like, that's the thing, right? And everything I'm reading right now, you know, and it's all the beat writers, the Athletic guy. It's all like, oh, you know, these turnovers, they're happening for a reason and all that stuff. And some of them likely are happening for a reason. I'm not going to take some of that away, but not at that rate. And we saw this with Iowa. All the Iowa fans are crowing and crowing. Oh, it's the scheme. It's the scheme. We go into this year and guess what? You're not getting three turnovers a game.
And guess what? No, even in the middle of last year, their turnovers dried up for them.
Yeah.
Right. Like there were people writing and football guys doing entire breakdowns of how the Iowa scheme just causes a lot of turnovers, you know, and that it was sustainable. And then it suddenly wasn't.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing where this USC, like, I want to see USC in a game where like the turnovers are like even. Because there's freaking picks in this game. Four of them.
I know. Well, no, I mean, if Oregon State doesn't turn the ball over, they win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing to take away here is like, I'm not like, look, this is like one of those any given Saturday type things. Like, I don't think your takeaway should be that Oregon State is as good as USC. I think they showed up and got the Trojans. They were super motivated. That kind of thing does happen in college football. I'm not convinced like Oregon State isn't the sneaky best team in this conference. But they were the better team other than the turnovers, you know, on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's break down every game and then let's preview all the games we have coming up on week 5. And let's do it right after this.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5-1-0, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. We're back. We're talking week 4, crazy week, Rob. Let's just start with it. We were talking a little bit about USC, Oregon State. Let's dive in. USC 17, Oregon State 14. Now, Rob, I watched the second half of this. I had to go to an event, so I watched all the morning games, all the afternoon games. I missed the first half of this game and the first half of the Washington game. So I'm curious, because if you were to tell me Oregon State scoring 14 points in this game, I'm like, well, USC covers, right? Or if you were going to say, hey, USC won this game, how many points did they need to score? I would have said probably at least 28, you know, like probably more than that. And the final score is 17-14. I kind of know what happened at the Oregon State side, right? You have four turnovers. They did run for 153 yards. So, you know, it was less than 5 yards per carry, but they were still able to move the ball on the ground. What shocks me, Rob, is the lack of production on the offensive side for USC. What, like, I'm, and you know, oftentimes that tone is set early. Like, what happened that kept USC at 17?
I mean, well, you really have to give a ton of credit to Oregon State secondary. Because guys weren't open. I mean, if you look at, I mean, Caleb Williams went 16 for 36. Yeah. And only averaged 5 per, you know? And in a lot of ways, like, especially early on in the game, it was him running that was keeping the chains going, right? Now, like, Dye did pretty well. And I thought Oregon State, like, for the most part, what they were able to do is they were able to drop a lot of guys. And it worked, right? Like they were able to drop a lot of guys and take, I mean, like Addison was a non-factor in this game for the most part, right? Like he got the one touchdown, but this was a really ugly game for USC offensively, right? Like and neither the players nor Riley seemed to be able to make adjustments to what Oregon State was doing.
That's interesting. I mean, if you take a look at the numbers, right, 2 sacks, 6 tackles for a loss, 11 quarterback hurries. I do think, like, I didn't watch the first half of this. I would assume some of those hurries are just scrambles and Williams getting yards, right? Like, it didn't, yeah. Or was the offensive line that bad?
No, I mean, he was really whole. I mean, he was holding the ball. He was having to hold the ball for a really long time. Now, they did get some pressure, and they did selectively send rush, you know, additional rushers in to put pressure on him. But the major thing was that the coverage was just there for them.
Now, you know, flipping it around, that's secondary. Like, so you mentioned, like, nobody's open. And it was interesting because I still don't think Boise State is good. And I think they lost to UTEP, or like there's some stupid game that just happened with Boise
State. They did lose to UTEP, and they fired their offensive coordinator, and their quarterback announced that he's going to redshirt the rest of the season and transfer.
Which, I get it, right? Like, Bachmeier was out, like, and all that stuff, and there was the injury. But I watched that game, and Boise just, they crap that game away in the first 10 minutes, right? So I'm like, okay, I don't know if Boise's good. But then they play Fresno State, and I know Hayner's good. I don't know if the rest of that offense is as good as it was last year. They lost their running backs. They lost a couple wide receivers. And you know, they didn't really light up. And I get it. Hayner
Boise turned the ball over 5 times in that game, too.
In the Oregon State game?
Yeah. I mean, like, the Beavs turned it over 3. But, like, Boise in particular, like, dug themselves an enormous hole with turnovers early on.
Well, like, but one thing that I took away from that, though, was, like, when the new quarterback came in, and even when Bachmeier was like, the secondary was just running around and looking aggressive. And I'm like, is this a mirage or is this Boise State? Right. And then, like, then you move to Fresno State, and they were, you know, Fresno State got theirs, but they didn't, you know, like, Oregon State didn't embarrass themselves like their secondary often does. And then, but then I saw Fresno play USC, and I know Hayner went out in the third, but, like, USC mostly contained that offense. Like, and I know there was some turnover, but, like, for the most part, I'm like, okay, maybe Fresno State's overrated, but USC's offense is not overrated, and that secondary looked freaking good. So, like, is that what we have to live with? Is a really good secondary from Oregon State?
I don't know. And that's, like, we're going to, like, this is one of those ones of, like, we need more evidence before coming to a conclusion, right?
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I mean, this matchup that they're about to get this week is not necessarily going to answer that question for us because Utah doesn't exactly try to light you up outside. Right.
Yeah.
In the way that USC does. So we are going to get to, like, we're going to get to see a very, very different attack against the Beavers. And it might turn out that they're just really vulnerable against the run. You know, like, Travis Dye had a pretty good day against them. And a lot of that came late. But yeah, like, we're going to get to see this, you know, whether Oregon's, like, I think a little further down the schedule, like, when they get to maybe say Stanford, and Washington State, we're going to get to find out a little bit more about them. But, like, they don't have, you know, like, the schedule after USC is, you know, they're probably going to be in every game. I mean, they were in this game for sure, right? But I don't, like, I mean, like, we'll, you know when it'll definitely be able to tell? Like, and this is crazy because it's a long time from now. We'll be able to tell before that, like, what they're giving up. But, like, that Washington game might be a lot of fun if Oregon State secondary is for real.
Oh, hot damn. Yeah, for real. That would be good. One last thing for me on this. I think it was a linebackers coach for USC sent out a tweet that said, keeping all my receipts. Calm down. Like, calm down. you won 17-14 with 4 turnovers backed into that win in a Corvallis stadium that A, wasn't cold, and B, is, like, half demolished right now. Let's just mellow out a little bit, USC, before we
start. Oh, USC needs to chill about that. Like, it's like they lucked out coming out with that win.
A lot of USC. Yeah. Yeah. Looking in the mirror.
I mean, like, give yourself like a pat on the back. But, and again, like, this is not, I think USC is a better team than Oregon State. I think that will hold up over the season, but not on Saturday. Like, Oregon State outplayed him and USC got lucky.
Yeah. But great throw, by the way. You know, like, we were like acting as if USC lost this game. They won, and it was a tough place to play. And that last throw to Addison, window. Damn. It reminded me of, like, remember, like, when the U.S. military, like, during Iraq, they showed the Tomahawk missile going into the chimney or whatever. Like, that was that kind of window that you saw with that pass, man. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the games that they have coming up. So Oregon is playing Utah. I'm sorry. Oregon State is playing Utah. Oregon State is a 10.5-point underdog on the road. And I think this matchup is fascinating. Like you mentioned, Rob, I don't know if Utah, by the way, Utah has their tight end is out.
Keithy,
which is a bummer. And shout out to Oregon State, by the way, for winning this, or not, but staying competitive in this game.
And Musgrave is out for Oregon State too, still.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big loss for them in this game. I think he would have helped. What do you think here? This is a really interesting matchup, and I'm curious to see where you think the line is, because I think it's a fair line.
Yeah, I mean, like Utah, this opened at 11, right? And it's, I think it's still at 11, at least. For where we saw it last, but I like, I think this is a fair line. I like this Oregon State to keep this a little closer than that. Betarank has this as Utah 7.5 at home. It's got Utah at 16 and Oregon State at 35. Now Oregon State right now, their defense is at 19. I don't think that holds up over the entire season, but they certainly have to feel really good about where they've been, you know, after what they did with USC. They get a Utah offense that right now sits at 28. I think they're going to continue to improve and kind of work out some kinks. But Utah, as usual, like they're at 25 in effective rush, 49 in effective pass. Oregon State's at 35 in effective rush and 20 in effective pass. Like they're going to, Utah's going to come right at them. And I think they're going to be able to run the football in this game pretty well.
Yeah. Like the one thing that worries me here is that I don't think Utah's wide receivers are good. So no. I think Oregon State's going to be able to do what they did against USC, which is, well, actually the opposite, right? They don't need to drop a lot of people. They can kind of stack the box. It's just, can they cover up Brant Keithy's out? Can they cover Dalton Kincaid and, you know, maybe the Syracuse transfer and stuff? Man, if you're stacking the box against, like, you're going to really make Utah work for this. I don't think Utah's going to score prolifically like they did in some of these other games. Is that the feel you get?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a tight one. Like, I think both of these teams are going to, I don't expect either of these teams to be able to just put up a bunch of explosive plays in this game. Like, I think they're going to have to put drives together. You know, because you flip it around and, like, Oregon State's offense right now sits at 57.
Yeah.
You know, but like Utah's defense, they're at 77. I think that number is going to improve significantly once we get more data in, but they're really struggling against the run. You know, we saw that against Florida. I think we're going to see it again. Like, I think Oregon State's going to be able to run the football here. And Oregon State ran the football okay against USC. Like, clearly, if they would have been able to run the football better, that would have helped. But, you know, I think they are going to be able to run the football pretty well against this Utah team. So I do expect this game to be pretty tight.
And if it's,
you know, it's come down, like, it's come down to 10.5. So it's come down a little bit off the opener. But you said you had seen a number as high as 14.
Oh, no, that was last week. That was last week. Okay, yeah, I was talking about a different one. Yeah, no, it went from 11. I think it opened at 11. It's down to 10.5. I think you might have talked me into Oregon State. I'm worried, though. I'm worried about Oregon State on the road, although they did win at Fresno. But going into Salt Lake is not easy. You have the altitude, and, like, Oregon State has not historically been good playing on the road. But I do think that it's going to be a slower, like, there is a game where Oregon State just comes out completely flat and gets boat race. Like, I think either Utah's going to win by like 30 or it's going to be close. And I'll take the close, right? Like, if it's a slow game, if both teams are running it and it's just kind of a slugfest, because I don't think Utah's going to be able to throw the ball very much except for, you know, to the tight ends, which they do. But, like, you know,
here's the tough thing with Utah, though. Like, the only decent team we've seen them play is Florida.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, like, Florida's okay. Like, they're not great. And, like, Utah, this is, like, they have played an FCS team. They have played San Diego State. And they have played ASU. Right?
Yeah.
This is going to be, like, the, since the Florida game, like, the first decent team that they played. I think this game is going to be pretty close.
Okay. All right. I'll take Oregon State. I don't know if I'm going to bet on this. I think this is a good line, but I'll take the Beavs. You taking the Beavs?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Beavs. I think it's about a one possession game.
Okay. All right. USC, on the other hand, are they off?
No, they get ASU.
They're basically off.
Basically.
So this is a 26 point spread. ASU is going into the Coliseum, and like really the move, Rob. I can't believe we talked about this at the beginning, but I can't believe I bet on the games that were trappy. Like the two obvious lines last week were, and I took them, but it was UCLA beating the doors off of Colorado. And it was Utah beating the doors off of ASU, and both things happened. There's a lot of stuff on social media, right? Like ASU pulls this coach from the high school ranks, and God bless him. He's like, I'm going to win this job. He came, that was like the first thing he said. I'm here for the long term. Like, whoa, hold on, buddy. Like, we just give it a hot minute, you know, meet the team, meet the administration. So he comes in guns blazing. They're doing all this big social media ploy, and really the alternative headline was, rather than like, hey, you know, ASU digs into its roots and brings a guy connected to all these players, like a true Arizona State guy. The alternative headline was, you know, ASU scraps and finds high school coach to coach against Utah.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. I mean, like, it's the same old, same old. This game was dumb, and Utah did what it needed to, and now ASU finds itself at the Coliseum. I don't know if the wheels fall off though. What do you think?
I mean, I think, look, and I was the idiot that thought, like, with the UNLV OC coming in and Emory Jones, that like Arizona State's offense might work a little bit, and it has not at all. They have a horrible offense. They're in free fall currently in beta rank. They're at 99. The only Pac-12 team worse than them in beta rank is Colorado. It's funny. This line opened at 24, and beta rank has it at 24.67. So then it came up, right? Like, it, you know, like, so clearly I think that the line's right. and I think over 24 was also right. But yeah, there's not a lot to hang your hat on here to kind of talk yourself into with ASU. The defense sits at 86. They've really struggled against the run going back to that, game against Eastern Michigan. But I think the larger problem is that the offense is at 126.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that they're going to get anything going. And I think that leaves, like, USC struggled to stop the run. Comparatively, unless they really get Emory Jones going running the football, I struggle to see ASU covering.
The one thing here that was interesting to me though, is that like Xavien Valade, I think it's a Xavien. I apologize. I call him Valade. I will learn that. He only had 8 carries in this game. Like ASU threw the ball 36 times against Utah. I think they could run the ball a little bit here. And 26, like now you, I'm going to be very clear. USC should win this game by 40, but I don't know if they will. Like they're coming off like a big emotional win. They have to play this dumb ASU team. I think they might play with their food a little bit. And I think it might allow ASU to get their yards on the ground and just put up enough points to keep the game, you know, from getting really out of hand.
I think alternatively, like, USC's like the sneaky messaging probably within the USC football facility is like to the offense in particular is like, we sucked. I would not be surprised to see them come out and really try to make a statement throwing the football too. I think, because like, yeah, like there's a lot of patting on the back amongst like the USC fan base, but like, I think USC's players have to know, like, they really underachieved last week.
I mean,
I'm taking USC, like, even at 26, I think I'm taking the Trojans.
26, man. I mean, just taking a look back though, like, okay, throw out the Eastern Michigan game, which is hard to do.
When you got you got trucked by a bad Mac school.
Yeah, I mean, but like even then, right, it was the running game. Right. I mean, they just ran the ball and could not be stopped.
You don't want you want to see Travis die against these guys? Oof.
I'm still going to do it. I'm going to take the 26. I think I don't like it, right?
That is bold.
I just think,
here's the trouble. Like it's like ASU after last week. It's they're almost like for me, they're almost like Colorado. Like I will take their opponent with almost any number.
And that does remind me, like, watching Spencer Sanders throw the ball down the field. Because I was more like, oh, you know, Cam Rising was fine. I'm going to do it. Right. I think they're going to run enough to keep it close. But you know, minus the college football aspect of this where everything is dumb, like USC should cover the spread. I'm just going to take ASU because of college football. All right. Let's get back to some of these games here, Rob. So we talked USC, we talked Oregon State.
They trade dance partners, like oddly enough.
Yeah, that was
perfectly done.
Utah 34, ASU 13. You know, Cam Rising, 19 to 29. He's, yeah, not 9 yards per. Like he's fine. They rushed for 205. But one thing, like outside of Rising and Thomas, like the other, you know. Like the running backs were fine. I just found it weird that ASU didn't really try to run the ball. Like Hippolyte talks about this sometimes where like teams play Utah and just assume that Utah can stop the run.
Yeah.
So they don't run. It's kind of like, did they get caught in that trap again? But I mean, look, like you just mentioned that, like Utah hasn't played. I mean, like that Florida team is not as good as we thought.
Right.
But they boat raced San Diego State. I mean, that game wasn't close. And they took care of business against ASU, and they did that on the road, right? I think this was at ASU.
It was, yeah.
I think it's a good team.
I agree.
So here's a question. Given right now, right, we're going into week 5. Are they the best team in the Pac-12? Do you think? I mean, we don't know yet, but like, what is your inclination?
My inclination at this point is actually no. And there's two teams I would take ahead of them. Like, so it's not just one. I would take two. I would take USC even with the face plant, because I think USC does have another gear on offense. And I would take Washington right now.
I think USC is going to get punched in the mouth by Utah. I
can see that. So like I don't think that the gap is so much that like USC is just going to show up and like just win. That's not going to happen.
I think SC's defense, and I think Oregon's defense is like soft with a W. Like just really, really soft. But yeah, I mean, that will be really interesting because obviously they have to play each other. Anything else? Utah fans, I'm so sorry. You've played like 3 dumb teams in a row. We've kind of skipped over your games, but like you did what you're supposed to do, which is great, right? Like if we stopped and spent more time on Utah, that would have been a bad thing for this program. You know, they took care of business against ASU. They held them to 13 points. It was a dumb game.
Yeah.
But really, this upcoming game, I think, is fascinating against Oregon State. We already covered it. You know, flipping on the other side, Rob, anything else about ASU?
Oh, God. I mean, they're like, it was, it's sort of, like I said, like, it does feel as if, like, they're in free fall.
Yeah.
And you just kind of, like, and this is what people talk about, right? Like, and they're in the, like, they've already fired Herm. They're, before they even got to the hard part of their schedule, and now they're in that hard part of their schedule, right? Before things let up. It just feels like if USC really gets going against them, like, I think the body language could get really bad on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'm so – that makes me worried about that pick because – and it kind of goes back to the two trappy picks, right, when USC was a 7-point – you know, less than a 7-point favorite on the road. And then, you know, when you had the Oregon being less than a 7-point favorite, where it's like, I get it. And I just thought that I was 1 week ahead of where things are going to settle. And that might be the case with that game where like they've already just fully collapsed. Like they might lose by 50. Okay. Well, let's go to the next game. Cause this game was look, this game was stupid and I loved it so much. Oregon 44, Washington State 41. We did talk a little bit about this at the beginning of the podcast, but, I mean, Oregon can move the ball. And I think some of that is a product of the secondary of Washington State. Again, we talked about, I don't think Graham Mertz was really all that good. I think the Colorado State team that they played wasn't all that good. or it's not good at all. That wasn't all that good. It's not good at all. But I thought that they were pretty scrappy when they needed to be in the red zone. Like, and again, Oregon's play calling in the red zone wasn't really all creative, but props to Washington State for being able to take care of business in that first half. And I thought Cam Ward looked pretty good. I mean, I really did. Like, I think there's definitely some improvement here. That throw at the end of the game, holy smokes, like, it cost me money. It's like my dad and I were like literally giggling like schoolgirls, like when that pick six happened, because we had Oregon State or Oregon minus 6.5. And Cam, he gets sacked the previous play. He scrambles out of it and he just throws a dime like right into the hands of the wide receiver. I was like, holy smokes, if he could do that, let's freaking go. But he didn't do that all game, but he did throw the ball further down the field than I think we've seen the last couple games. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here's the thing, like, and I even tweeted this out and like at some point, like, I mean, he continues to mostly be relegated either from the offense or from himself to short passes to the edge. Right. Yeah. Like, he's got a lot of, like, his completion percentage looks pretty good. He's either not by design or not being asked to do a lot necessarily. Now, it's not to say, like, they don't run the football much, but they mostly try to keep him out of trouble. And that works in a lot of ways, right? I think what's interesting, I want to say, I mean, to your point, I think, it's like a lot of people are coming away from this like Washington State's defense was actually pretty good. And I got to be honest, like, I'm not sure after this game. Like we talked about, like, Oregon should have, like, if you look at the way Oregon was able to move the football, Oregon should have won by 14, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they really, I mean, look, I mean, and there is an execution component. There's a reason I have a metric called drive efficiency that is about finishing your drives and turning them into points. But let's be honest, the hard part is usually putting up yards first and not giving them up. And Washington State, I thought in this game, they really struggled with, I mean, like Troy Franklin had himself a day, right? You know, Bo Nix had himself a day, you know, like, you know, throwing for 428, you know, with 9.7 per. I mean, and he was hitting some big passes. Like, I don't know that every team is going to have like Oregon's talent out there. And I think that to your point, like, they definitely still have some work to do, like finishing off drives. Like, holy moly. Like, that was like the red zone was a house of horrors for Oregon in this game. But Oregon's also not always going to be this bad in the red zone, right? Like, that's hard to do. You know, like, I think one of the main takeaways from this is, like, Oregon's offense looks pretty good. Washington State's defense might be a little more complicated than we thought. And I actually think, like, one of the real takeaways is like, I don't think Oregon's defense is really all that good. Because they did find a way to largely shut down the running game from Washington State. But they gave up a lot in the air without Washington State, I think, really doing all that much, you know, all that much throwing the football around.
The one thing here, like, here's the alternate storyline on that. And I don't know if I believe it, but I think it's a point that should be made, right? Yes, they did get in the red zone like the first quarter. They got there like three times, or first quarter and a half. And then they sucked. They legitimately sucked. And like, it was dumb watching them play. And then in the fourth quarter, like, you know, you have to take that pick six away. That's really when Nick started chucking the ball down the field. I mean, like, they scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. So I do think that yes, they put up a ton of yards. I thought that a lot of that came in the fourth quarter on big chunk plays when Washington State was kind of on their heels and reeling and kind of, frankly, got a little soft in the middle of the end of that game, if that makes sense, where they just kind of were like, all right, we're going to do this. And then they didn't. So I think this might be a little misleading on how powerful of an offense, or look, I get it. It's Georgia. I understand. But like, a good offense scores a touchdown against Georgia at some point in that game, and they did not, and they look stupid.
I agree. I think Oregon's like, I don't think that they're in the same league as we're going to talk about with USC. I don't think they're in the same league that we're going to talk about maybe with Washington. And I think they might even be behind Utah offensively, but I still think they're pretty good, you know, like offensively. And I think to your point, like one of my main takeaways though is like, I'm not sure Washington State's defense is maybe as good as we thought they were going to be.
Gosh, that defense looks soft. I get it.
Because Washington State hasn't played. I mean, look, Wisconsin. I'm in awe that they're like they're not still ranked, are they?
No, they got waxed by. I mean, Ohio State. Like
they got it taken to them by Ohio State, and largely, you know, like they put up 14 points in the fourth quarter of that 21 that they put up. Mertz only put up 104 passing yards in that game. Like, I really think, like, you know, and we saw this, is like Wisconsin does not have an offense. But like, I honestly, like, I am so, like, I could not be more interested in a game than I might be in this Cal Washington State game.
Like,
is there a more interesting game in the Pac-12 of like, what do we actually have here in these two teams than these two?
And it's a joke, right? Like, I literally, and I didn't look at the time when, in the beginning of the podcast, when I said, like, you got to love those 2:30 Pac-12 network games. And that's this game. It's literally Cal Washington State on the Pac-12 network at 2:30. Now, this game is great. It is great because the conference is better. Like, Cal is okay. And Washington State has really continued to be pretty good. I'm fascinated at this game. Let's just dive in, right? So Washington State has this game at home. They're hosting Cal, and they are I think it's a 3.5 point. Let's say 3.5, because it depends on the book that you're looking at. They're a 3.5 point favorite. When Cal played Arizona, Plummer had a good game, but I don't think he was the story of that game. The real story was the running game and Arizona's lack of being, and then the turnovers there too. So they dropped 50 points. Which is if you're a Cal fan, take it. Right? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Put it in your back pocket. It was 49, but who's counting? But I do think that the running, I mean.
So here's the question, right? Because like Cal sucked running the football against UNLV.
Yeah.
Already this season, right? Like I just, the one of my absolute most interesting, because Cal ran it all over Arizona, particularly in the second half. I think Cal offensively did make some good adjustments, and Arizona made no adjustments in that second half. But I really think, like, the one of the most interesting questions is like, what do we have with this Cal offense, and what do we have with this Washington State defense, right? Because like Cal right now sits at 35 on offense in beta rank and 22 in effective rush. And they're going to get a Washington State defense that has struggled to stop the pass. They struggled to stop Bo Nix throwing the football, but sits at 19 in effective rush and 27 overall. Like, I'm just interested. Like, I mean, one of these teams, like, if one of these, both of these numbers could be wrong, one of these numbers might be wrong, and we're going to find out pretty quick.
Yeah. And the thing here that worries me if I'm a Washington State fan is there are two legitimate targets here. And that hasn't been the case for Cal in a while. I mean, I know like Remigio, the guy that's the Fresno State transfer. He was like, whatever. He was fine. Jeremiah Hunter and like J. Michael Sertivant are like blue chip tight end and wide receiver. So like they legitimately can be a problem. Ott has been fine. I mean, he was awesome against Arizona. He's had some good runs.
Yeah.
And the problem is, I think Ward's going to throw at least one pick in this game.
Well, I mean, look, Cal's got a legitimately, like right now, Cal's defense and beta ranks just at 17, right? But they're struggling. They are struggling against the run. They're at 66 in effective rush. That said, like, Delora had himself a game, right? Like, now I don't think... Here's the thing. I don't think Washington State's offense is maybe set up to really exploit Cal's defense in this game.
No.
Arizona should have been able to run the ball more effectively, and like they didn't lean on it. Like Wiley had 5.6 per, But Arizona, like, really stuck with the pass. And Delora was largely successful. He was pretty good in this game, minus the two picks. You know, he threw for 401. And Arizona's wide receivers, who had had a really bad week the week before against North Dakota State, were also good in this game. I don't think Washington – this is a weird thing to say. I don't think Washington State has as good of an offense as Arizona does. And I think they're going to struggle against Cal in particular because they're not going to be able to line up to run the football in the way they necessarily need to. And I think Cal's got a good secondary. I think Arizona has the weapons to exploit that. But I think I think the flip side and what probably makes this game the most interesting is this Cal offense, like we talked about, against this Washington State defense. I mean, this opened at 4. Betarank has it at 2.67, and it's come down a lot. Like, it's always nice when, like, the sharp, because the sharp money comes in quick. It's always nice when the sharp money moves at Betarank's way. I'm like, oh, they see the same things we do.
It's a good line.
It is. Because you get the home field, right? Like, and it sounds weird. I'm going to take Cal in this game. Just because I think Cal's got a better defense than Oregon.
Gosh darn.
And I think that what Washington State's going to want to do versus what they need to do to really expose Cal, I don't think they have the talent to do.
Yeah. I'm with you.
But it's tough because like you can talk yourself into like, I mean, Plummer basically had plenty enough time to sit back and like pick through. Arizona was running some bad zone coverage. But you talk yourself into like Cal going out like that. I mean, if Cal has a turnover, they're gonna lose, right? Like, I don't think they're that much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I should say, like, if Cal finishes minus on turnovers, they're gonna lose. But that's true of Washington State too. But I think, I mean, it is tight. Like, I think this game, like, I think at the end of this, with like the in-season weight or the projection weight out and all in-season, Cal would be a little bit ahead of Washington State. And I think this is just I think this is probably closer to a toss-up at Washington State, and I'm gonna take Cal with that.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Do it. Take Wazoo. Let's be opposite. Yeah. We were all the same last week, and we did not do well.
I'm gonna go Washington State. Here's why. I don't think Plummer's very good. I think Arizona's defense sucked. I think this Washington State defense is better. This is what's driving me nuts. I took Washington State, you know, over the 5.5 win total, and then I keep betting against them. Like, what am I doing? Like, that, if Washington State is truly a decent team, they should beat this Cal team at home. And I don't think Plummer has it. I think the thing that worries me is that I do not believe that Washington State's going to get a lot of yards on the ground. And I think Cam Ward's going to throw a pick, and I still think that they're going to win and cover this game.
I think Cam Ward is going to he's probably going to be good for almost a pick a game in conference play.
Yeah. But I could also see this being a hangover game and Washington State comes out flat, and Cal is not a bad team, right? Like, so right. If you're a Washington State fan, like, do not take this game for granted. Like, Cal can win. And that coaching staff isn't just going to sit around doing nothing. Like, they're going to know the limitations of Cam Ward. And I hope that Cam Ward keeps progressing so that he's able to take care of business there and put the, give me Wazoo. I've been crapping on him all week. So I want him to take this one. All right. Oregon.
Stanford.
Oregon is a 16.5 point favorite. At home against Stanford. This was the dumbest pick last week, was Stanford against Washington. We knew Stanford's defense sucked. I picked this more because college football, you know, like, Stanford is historically played Washington pretty well. And I thought they'd be able, like, I wanted to see how good Washington's defense was because Stanford can move the ball a little bit. And turns out Washington's defense is pretty good. And like, holy Moses, there were like 5 or 6 throws. Now, I only watched the second half of this game, Rob, but there were a number of throws that that Stanford's quarterback, whose name escapes me right now, was able
McKee.
McKee. Oh yeah, Tanner McKee. I'm sorry. Sorry, Stanford fans. Tanner McKee was just throwing dimes. Like, some of those wide receivers were not open, and he was just dropping it here and there, and it didn't matter. Washington was able to move the ball. Stanford's defense sucks, and they covered, and I wouldn't say easily. Like, there was that moment in that fourth quarter where I'm like, ah, yes, Stanford might be able to cover. But I never thought they were going to be able to win after the third quarter. This game was pretty much over.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, kudos to us for talking about how Stanford had switched to the slow mesh, and the slow mesh requires that you have time because you're holding the ball back there.
Yeah.
And McKee was under a ton of pressure in this game, right? And Pro Football Focus put out their grades today, and McKee on passes where he was not pressured was their highest graded quarterback last week. Problem is, he was pressured a lot. Yeah. So he had some absolute dimes in this game. Like, and I, you know, like if he's, you know, if they didn't have someone in his face, like he looked pretty doggone good. But Washington was able, I mean, I thought Washington was like, did a really good job. And they had, like, we talked about, like, you know, our concern with this Washington defense coming in was absolutely not their, you know, they're pass rushers. Like, I think they have guys that can get there. It's the run defense, right?
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting about this Washington team is their offense might be good enough that run defense is less of a liability, because you're just going to find yourself in a position where you're going to want to throw against them to try to keep up.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so, like, I think that, like, they, you know, Stanford, I mean, they were able to run the ball. Like, Philkins had, you know, averaged 5 per. He got 100 yards. He had 20 carries. You know, like, Stanford couldn't lean into as much as they would have wanted to running the football. McKee was just under constant pressure. And I, you know, that's the, I mean, far and away, I mean, Washington had 8 sacks. That's bonkers. I mean, what's dumb is, like, whoever Washington's scorekeeper is, like, didn't do a very good job, and recorded 0 QB, you know, hurries in here. But they clearly, like, had a ton of pressure on McKee. And I think coming into this game, right, like, my main question with this line is, what do we think about Oregon's ability to put pressure on Stanford? Betarank's got it at 12, you know, here for Oregon. I mean, if McKee has time, I think he's going to carve up Oregon's secondary.
Yeah, me too. But is he going to have time? I mean,
that's right. Because it's not just like, this isn't just a stamp. Like, Wake has this problem too, right? Like, you know, the way to try to disrupt the slow mesh is to try to collapse that pocket early while, you know, you're still standing there with the running, you know, the ball in the running back's stomach before you've either pulled it or handed it off.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think, like, again, and this is the problem here for Stanford, of course, is, like, Oregon's going to torch this defense. Now, Stanford has been a lot better against the pass than they have been against the run. They're at 35 in effective pass, but they're at 107 in effective rush. Oregon currently sits at number 9 in effective pass. I don't know that that's, like, going to be their forever number, but I do think that they're going to, like, they're going to run. I think Oregon's going to be able to run the ball pretty well in this game, and I think they stick to that if they can. But I just don't – I don't think – I got to be honest. I don't think Oregon has the pass rushers that Washington does. And their Oregon's defense right now is at 117 in effective pass. They've been really bad against the pass. Like, they let Cam Ward, you know, put up some yards against them and some points.
The problem, and it's a good line, because the problem is that when you take Stanford, and this comes with the territory, you're going to watch Stanford give 400 yards up, and you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, can you get a stop? Yeah. And the answer will be no, we cannot. So Oregon's going to score a lot.
Well, here's the thing, is, like, can you talk yourself into Stanford backdoor covering too?
I hate that though, because...
No, I mean, I know that's, but, like, that's the kind of stuff you got to think about in a game, right? Of, like, you know, could Stanford put up points late?
The other thing too is EJ Smith. Like, we don't know if he's healthy, And that matters. I don't think Casey Filkins is nearly as good as Smith is. I think Smith is actually like a legit. Now it sucks because he's at Stanford, but I think he's good. We don't know if he's coming back. They only announced him out against Washington. And then frankly, Rob, I almost hedged out, and I just should have. Like whenever you get that, like get out of this one, like just do it, because I just think he's Stanford is much better with him. He at least makes people fear the run. I hate this Oregon offense. I hate our defense. I hate it. I don't think it's good. But Stanford, like, they give up so many points, Rob. Like, and I just...
It's almost impossible to want to... I mean, like, you feel like you're, like, truly, truly, like, you feel like you are taking your life in your hands going with Stanford. Because, like, it's going to be the wildest ride.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way in taking... Like, now... The flip side of it is like, man, like I don't feel comfortable with this Oregon defense.
No, me either.
Like this is, I mean, it is a good line. I mean, it's up to 16.5. So like, this is one of the ones where like Betarank sees it a little closer. I mean, it opened at 15. But I think Stanford, I actually do think that McKee is going to have enough time. And I think he is like, if he's not running for his life and he's not terribly athletic, he's not going to buy you time.
Yeah.
I think he can carve up. I think he could throw for 400 in this game.
I get it. It's more like it's the idea of a team scoring points with a good offense against Oregon. And then, you know, it's like the, our friend Alicia Deratola like tweeted out this thing where it's like a child in the car and she's like, "Mom, I want pizza." And she's like, "You have pizza at home." And then they show a picture and it's Graham Harrell as the offensive coordinator as the pizza at home. I think that's Stanford. Stanford is the we have pizza at home. I'm gonna take Oregon. I can't do it. I'm not betting this game. By the way, like I think this line is pretty good. I just can't trust Stanford to do stuff, and I think I will plant my flag another day against this Oregon defense.
I'm gonna take Stanford. I'll ride the wild wave.
Rob, before we go, we have to talk about Washington because Michael Penix is a beast. He's like this Washington team. I agree with you. I think that Washington is better than Oregon. I think that they are a complete team. Now, is their defense the best in the conference? Probably not. But, dude, Michael Penix, 309, 8.84, you know, per two touchdowns, and they ran the ball. Like, now I get it, Stanford and all that stuff, but, like, you know, you talk about trends. Washington's the truth, and they really could take care of business. And, by the way, if you want to look at this game outside the fourth quarter, right, like, it was basically 30-7. So, like, you know, that last 15 points, I do think that Stanford scored was in garbage time. I think this Washington offense, like, defense is actually pretty decent. Like, that was the thing that really impressed me was there were really good passes that McKee made, but those wide receivers were not open, and those wide receivers are good. I think the secondary is decent.
Yeah, so Washington right now, now they've given up a lot more in the passing game, but I think that's on the fact that, like, they've definitely – had teams where they're down, but like, yeah, I think the secondary is pretty good. Nobody's had, like, the thing is like, nobody's really been at a point where they could try to run the ball against them and really try to lean into that. So I'm interested to see, cause like, I mean, this is UCLA's jam, right? but yeah, the offense I think is really good. I think the defense is fine. They sit at 40 in Betarank right now. And they've done a really good job containing explosive drives for the most part. But yeah, I'm interested to see where they sort of shake out. And I think in particular, this game is really interesting because like UCLA hangs their hat on being able to run the football. And our big questions about Washington, which like we said, like we haven't really been in a position to see answered yet, is about their run defense.
Oh, and then we will know. Holy Moses. Now, we should mention quickly, you know, UCLA beat Colorado 45-17. And like the game like reminded me of like when you're watching YouTube and doing work at the same time, like that's kind of like what UCLA was doing, where they really were like, they were like half caring and they, you know, they were typing the words, but then they had to like erase them a little bit because they were watching a video on something. I mean, they were just DTR was good. they sleptwalked through this game, and it didn't matter because Colorado sucks. And Colorado, by the way, couldn't run on UCLA. So I'm just, you file that one away for a moment.
For this week?
Yeah. So that was fascinating. I mean, they like Colorado, Owen McCown, he threw a couple good passes, to be fair. But I don't think UCLA's secondary is good. I mean, like any other takeaways from this game? I watched the whole thing because I had money on this game, and it was glorious. But what did you think?
I mean, my main takeaways are like, I was a little, like, I don't know. They're just like Colorado is hideously bad. I think your point is correct. Like I don't think UCLA secondary is all that good. I'm interested to see, you know, like right now they sit at 50 in effective pass. But I'm interested to see, like, I don't know that they've really been, they really haven't been tested yet. In a lot of ways, right? Like they played a tissue soft schedule up to this point. This is going to be our first real shot to see UCLA against like an actual football team with a real honest to God pulse. Like, don't get me wrong, South Alabama definitely is a well coached group of five team, but like they're still a group of five team. And I want to see what this UCLA defense has, because right now they're at 30 in beta rank. I don't think that holds up, you know, as we get into more serious competition. And I think Washington's going to be able to really exploit them in the passing game. And I think that's going to hurt them in the run game too. Washington sits at 3 in effective pass right now. Like they're just a juggernaut throwing the football.
The worry is DTR on the red game, you know, I mean, like, yeah. And that's what it's going to come down to. That it was interesting. Like Kent State rushed for 150 on Washington. That's a little bit worrisome. They were able to contain basically Michigan State. I'm going to go back and double check, but I remember that, like, you know, and maybe it was just because Michigan State had to throw the ball, right? Oh yeah, Michigan State 29 for 42. That's like not with sacks. Like that's just straight up awful. And then Stanford, right? Like Casey Philkins, who I don't think is that good, ran for about 100 on him. But I mean, I think this defense is pretty decent. And like you got to think, like, Washington's gonna, what, they score 40 through the air?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I like Washington in this game. Like Baderite has this at Washington by a little over 1.2.
Oh.
It opened at Washington 1.
Yeah.
And then it's moved up. Mm-hmm. Which I think is right. You know, like I think this is the last week of projections and Washington projected, you know, in the 30s, at 36 coming into the season. Beta rank, the in-season data would have them higher than it does right now, and it has them at 14. I think Washington is going to be able to get almost everything they want throwing the football in this game. I think the interesting question, though, is, like, I think UCLA is going to be able to put together drives, and I'm interested to see where this Washington run defense is. Because look, like, there's not, like, Washington's not going to have, you know, like, this may not be the game that gets them. They're like, now UCLA is absolutely good enough that if Washington finishes minus one on turnovers, like, they could lose this game on the road for sure. I mean, it's not like the Rose Bowl is an intimidating place to play, but they could do it. It's on Friday night around the Pac-12. Weird things happen. But like, I am interested to see, because like, there are some, like, you know, there are teams later on, like say Oregon, that I think are going to be good enough. Now, they don't get USC, they don't get Utah, like, but yeah, like, this is going to tell us, like, our team's going to be able to run the football on them, because that's where when you, like, you were going to answer questions about, like, the latter part of their schedule, like, with, is Oregon State something, a game we should be keeping an eye on or not for Washington?
I'm super excited about this game. I, you know, whatever the over is, I'm sure it's going to get there, because I do think UCLA is going to get their points. I think they score at least 24, 27, maybe 27 in the game. But I do think Washington's just going to light them the heck up. I was bummed because, like you mentioned, the game opened at 1, but you really couldn't get the number until it was at 3. Like, you know, like the sharps just gobbled that number up, and now it's at about 3.5. I'll take Washington. I think Washington's the better team. We've been dumping all over this defense for 2 years now, Rob, and like I'm not going to stop now. I'm going to lay those points. I'm going to trust Washington's offense. I don't believe in this defense for UCLA, and I think this is where they get exposed. It's just to your point, can Washington stop the run enough? And I think the answer is probably yes. And by the way, I do think Washington can run the ball a little bit. So there's enough of a threat in the run game. I'd put it this way, where UCLA can't just drop 10, I do think they have to worry a little bit about the running game. And I think that's helpful for Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to take Washington in this game. Like I'm not sold on UCLA's defense. I think my main question coming in here is whether, you know, UCLA can really establish the run against the Huskies.
Yeah. Forgot a commercial break. Let's do it right now. All right, we're back. Now, Rob, I thought you were going to say the best game of the week was going to be Cal Arizona from last week, right? Cal 49. Arizona 31. Surprise, you can run in Arizona, right? That was the takeaway. Did you watch this?
I did. I watched this game.
I watched the whole thing too. It was depressing. Almost the whole thing. I had to leave at the very end. Jaden Ott just lit Arizona up. But like, if you're a Cal fan, first and foremost, like, all right. You know, this kind of almost reminded me of that bowl game when they play TCU, where you go, hey, where's that? I would like some more of that, where they're able to throw the ball up and down the field. They're able to move it. I do think this is more a product of Arizona's defense rather than Cal really figuring out their stride, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we talked about this a little bit with like previewing Cal. Like, I think I'm interested to see this because I want to see what Cal really has on offense. They talked about like there had been some adjustments on the offensive line since like their game against UNLV. But yeah, they were able to just light Arizona up running the football. Arizona struggled to get off blocks. They lost gap integrity. And then, you know, playing off of that, Plummer was able to hit some passes downfield and keep drives going too. Yeah, I think that was sort of one of the interesting things about this week, of course, like we talked about, is like getting to see what we really have in this Cal offense. I think the defense is largely good, even though Arizona did move the ball and put up points against them. I actually don't think that's a sign that we should be questioning where we think Cal's defense will be. I think that's a sign that Arizona's got a pretty good offense.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely agree. It was fun to see that, right? Because like, if you're an Arizona fan, this was more of a, like, I don't think Cal's defense is awesome, but I think they're probably middle of the pack, and Arizona dropped 31 on them plus the turnovers. So really, and they were able to move the ball up and down the field when, you know, oftentimes when they needed to. Arizona has Colorado next. There's not much else. I think we know what Arizona is, right? Bad defense, good offense.
Right.
Head case quarterback, but for the most part, like pretty fun and can really gun the ball down the field. And Colorado sucks. Like Colorado couldn't run the ball against UCLA. Colorado.
You know what's interesting? Uh-huh. This game opened at 18 and has come down.
So like I do the lines on my, I try to guess them before they pop out. I had this at 21. So
okay.
Because I do think Arizona's defense is bad, but
yeah.
whatever. Like just because I think it's at 21 doesn't mean I'm not going to bet on Arizona at 21. right. Cause like, I mean, what is Colorado going to do?
So like, here's the thing. Like, so I'm this game in particular, like is actually the biggest gap between Beta Rank and where Vegas had it. And Beta Rank has it at 8. Within that, you still have Arizona was projected in the 90s and Colorado was projected, I think, in the high 80s coming into the season. And this is the last week that those projections still matter. But like these both of these teams are still only 60% in season data coming in. So the projections are keeping this from being a bigger spread in the model. And I think after watching Arizona's defense, it terrifies me to take Arizona with a big number. I mean, really, like, I think Arizona's defense, I think Johnny Manziel could be a catastrophic hire at defensive coordinator for Arizona. Because I think that the defense looks a lot worse than last year under Don Brown.
Well, I think there's a couple things to keep in mind here when it comes to Arizona, right? So the first game against San Diego State might have looked better because Braxton Burmeister was the quarterback. San Diego State's offense was already garbage, and Arizona was able to score, and then, you know, and then they had to try to catch up and they couldn't. The second game, you play your FCS, you know, champions from the previous year, but that team knows what it wants to do, and I don't think there was a lot of adjustments in the second half. I think they just kind of like, this is what we do, and we're going to either win or not, and they didn't. And Mississippi kind of blew out, like blew the doors for the most part, although I thought the defense for the for a decent amount of that game held its own. But that Cal game, like a lack of adjustments, and I don't know. I still think
San Diego State's horrible on offense. Like, that was the tough part, is like, and they're clearly outclassed against Mississippi State, which I think is a legit top 10 team this year. And then you get North Dakota State, which is a really good FCS team, but still an FCS team. I'm just shocked at what Cal is able to do on them. Like, look, like, Arizona is going to be at home. They have far more talented players on offense. I mean, Arizona, barring finishing minus three on turnovers, should absolutely win this game.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the literally the only question that matters in this game, as far as the spread goes, is can Colorado run the football in Arizona? That's literally it. There's no other way that Colorado keeps this even remotely close.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, Delora threw two picks. I gotta remember, Rob, like, those were both in the second half. I mean, he could do that again. Because one of the things that we had talked about was, like, okay, if Delora is running out of the box rather than getting the ball down the field, then let's go. And for the most part of the first half, he was. I don't believe Colorado. Like, I know that the line got bet down a little bit, but I just think Arizona's going to score. Like, those.
I'm with you on this one. Like, I think Arizona. Like, here's the funny thing. I think Arizona's offense is possibly really good, and I think they're going to have a field day in this game. And I think Arizona, unlike in the Cal game where Arizona made some mistakes and didn't finish drives and had some turnovers, I think Colorado, even if they are able to score a bit, like, they're mostly going to be facing really long fields in this game. Because I think right now Colorado's offense sits at 107. And look, I mean, Arizona's defense is really bad, but Colorado's defense sits at 103. And everybody has been able to run the football against them. Like, I mean, they have faced a series of really, like, the FBS teams they have played have been a series of really, really good rushing teams, but Arizona's going to be able to come in and throw on them too. I think Arizona's going to put up a ton of points in this game. But, like, Arizona's defense sits at 94 right now. Now those are the unweighted numbers, of course, but, like, I mean, Arizona's at 116 in effective rush. I mean, that hurts. I'm with you. Like, I don't see. I think Bedarank is going to catch up on these teams. I think it's mostly the projection that's still in there that's keeping this from being a wider spread. Colorado offensively is only averaging 1 point per drive in raw stats. I like Arizona here.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I think that's it, right? We got through all six.
Yep.
I feel good. I think I feel good about Washington. I feel good about Arizona. That might be it. The other ones are a little shaky on me. What do you have the most confidence in here, Rob?
I feel the most confidence in UCLA, or not UCLA, Washington. Just because I do think they're going to win the game. Yeah. And that's obvious. Like, they're probably going to, like, and I think UCLA's pass defense is bad and is going to get exposed in this game.
Yeah.
For sure. But, like, any of the rest of them, I don't have a ton of confidence in, right? Like, geez. I mean, maybe maybe like Oregon's, gosh, it feels crazy to say, but the Utah's run defense has been bad enough. I have some confidence in that Oregon State pick.
Okay. All right. Well, stay tuned. Thanks for jumping in. If you have questions, you can follow us at 12 Pack Radio. Rob, where can people find all your beautiful work?
You can find everything at sharpcollegefootball.com and at our YouTube channel. And next week, in addition to having the FBS results with no projections in, we'll have FCS results up on the site.
Nice. Very excited about that. Get to see where Sacramento State is. Didn't they just knock off somebody?
Trying to remember. Where is Sacramento State?
They beat somebody. I forget who they knocked off. That's a Troy Taylor.
You know who's number one?
Who?
Deion. Jackson State.
Ah, my man. Nice. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. sharpcollegefootball.com is where you can find everything. 2 weeks until Beta Rank Day, or 2 weeks until Beta Rank Day, so stick with us.
Next week, next Monday, we will have no projections then.
There you go. Riding bareback, man. Right on. Let's go. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.